Welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook, where our goal is to have a genuine and authentic conversation about the Christian faith journey and what a messy walk with Jesus really looks like. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hey, welcome to the Messy Walk Podcast. I'm your host, Steph, here with Pastor Adam.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. So we are back for another episode. This is episode 176, and we're starting a new series. And this is actually kind of like a little intro.
Yeah, we're going to intro it a little bit. So we're not really going to talk through it much today. We're going to kind of hit it going forward. And I don't know how many there are going to be of this series.
Yeah, we don't know.
Because as I sit around thinking about them, the list gets longer and longer. So I'm going to have to have Steph help me cut it down. And I'm going to get some, input from some friends of mine. Some other pastors as well. And so
that's exciting.
Tell them what we think the title is going to be for the series, Steph.
Pastor, please.
Pastor, please. Without the E on the end. So that would be Pastor, P-L-E-A-S, as in, like, if you said it the other way around, it'd be like, please of a pastor.
Yeah.
Like, and so here's the idea. I walked in one day, Steph and I were talking podcast stuff, and I said, I got an idea for the podcast and a series we could do. And I didn't know what to really say, but it was like, if I, as a pastor, could beg you or require you or force you to do certain things, these would be those things. And so I've pastoring for a long time, and I think that these will hold true. That's why I'm going to talk to some pastor buddies of mine. I think these would hold true. It's like you see so many people do things that they shouldn't do on repeat, right? It's like you see multiple couples, marriages, men, women go down these paths where they are completely avoidable, and you're like, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this, right? Or it's the other way. It's like, please do this. Please do these things, right? It's like if I, as a pastor, if I could just beg you or force you to do or not do certain things, I just think your life would be so much better.
Yeah.
Your walk with Christ would be better. Relationships would be better. You would avoid some of these like things that are going to happen to you when you go down these routes, these roads. You know what I mean? Like, this is just from a seasoned guy. Like, I was sitting around the other day. I don't know whether I'm going into midlife crisis or what. You know, like I'm going to have to buy me a fancy car or something, which I would never do anyway, so you don't have to worry about that. But I've just been thinking a lot about stuff. I did some numbers on how many sermons I've preached over the years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, it's almost 10,000.
Whoa.
I counted up how many, I remember this number anyway. I'm a number kind of person anyway. But I have married 121 different couples. I think I've done about 200 funerals. So these are some big numbers, right?
Yeah, that's a lot.
There's no telling how many, this is where this came from. There's no telling how many hours I have spent in pastoral counseling with people, and that is not my gifting. Right? Like, pastoral counseling is not my gifting. I do it. I have to do it. It's part of things. You love people. You pastor people. You care for people. You shepherd them, right? But pastoral counseling is not my thing. It burns me out. I feel like I ain't good at it. You know, it's just not my thing. Because half the time when I'm trying to pastor, my pastoral counseling is kind of like somebody comes in and goes, you know, I'm doing this thing. My counseling back's like, well, quit doing it. You know, let's go get something to eat. Here's your advice for the day. But there's been so many things. And recently there's been just some marriage relationship trauma that has been going on. It feels like the enemy's moving in a big way in that particular area in families that I'm connected to right now, like in a big way. And so it was just this moment of frustration where I was looking at Steph. I was like, my God, if people would just not, like, they would just do these things or don't do these things, right? And I remember saying this the last few years, that when Pastor Appreciation Month comes up, which is like October, and people are like, you know, what do you want, Pastor? I'm going to get pastors. You know what pastors want? You know what we want?
What do you want?
For you to do what we tell you to. Like, that's the greatest gift you could give us.
And they're like, sorry, can't do that.
Whoops. <Just kidding. laughs> How about a Starbucks card? You know, which is fine and all. Or how about a peach cobbler, right? You know,
yeah, those type like of those that.
Things, right?
That's like funny.
Just Sunday, this great couple in our church made me and Valerie and the kids some pear sauce. It's like applesauce, but it's made out of
pears. Oh, that was the jar. Yes, that's cool. Yeah.
And so, you know, those gifts are awesome, right? They're awesome. But if you were like, what does a pastor want as a gift? I'm going to tell you what he wants. I'm going to tell you what her wants, whoever it is. I'm going to tell you what they want. They want you to do what they're telling you to do, right? Because there's so much wreckage that could be avoided in your life. And at the heart of the pastor, honest to God, the heart of the pastor, we would not do this if the heart of the pastor was not, we want what's best for you. Mm-hmm. And we want you to avoid things that we walk through that you shouldn't have to. We want you to avoid following the pattern of your parents in some of these negative spaces that you shouldn't follow, or falling into the pattern of certain Christians in the world around us, like the last episode we talked about with politics. It's like, please don't. Like one of mine might be in this series, one of my pastor please would be, please don't put all your faith and hope in who is elected president here in just a few months. Mm-hmm. Please don't do that. So there's so many of those things. So I'm going to go through a bunch of them, and some of them are rough, and some of them are going to be quite specific. You know, there's going to be a lot of stuff in there with regard to marriage and relationships and raising your kids and being involved in the church, do's and don'ts. So it's like stuff of please do these or please don't do these, right? Just listening to that advice. That's basically what it is. It's a series on a bunch of advice from a pastor that I would really, really like for you to take. That's kind of the deal. That's what we're going to talk through. So we'll have one different one every episode, but I don't know how many we're going to do. So I wanted to start off this little quick intro, not by just telling you that, but also let's just walk through this idea, because when I present that thought, it can kind of come across as pastors dictate your life. And I think we need to be on the same page biblically with what a pastor is supposed to be doing in your life, right? And so when we talk about pastors, the image for pastors, the correct image for pastors is shepherds. And that means we put, if there's a shepherd, then we put the people as sheep, right? And so we need to make sure that you know right off the bat that I'm not saying you should just blindly listen to and do whatever your pastor says. That is not the case. Pastors are not spiritual owners of the sheep. Like shepherds know they do not own the sheep. So pastors are not spiritual owners of the sheep. Let me show you just a few little verses. This is 1 Peter 5, 1 through 3. Steph, read this one.
To the elders among you, I appeal as a fellow elder and a witness of Christ's sufferings, who also will share in the glory to be revealed. Be shepherds of God's flock that is under your care, watching over them, not because you must, but because you are willing, as God wants you to be, not pursuing dishonest gain, but eager to serve, not lording it over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock.
Yeah, so you see right there, it's not lording it over. It's not about dominion. It's not about control. Like pastors should not be, this is not listen to my advice because I want to control you. This is out of genuine care and concern, genuine love for the people that God has placed under your care, right? And so according to the Bible, pastors are not allowed to exercise dominion over the sheep, but instead should give them guidance and examples, starting with the example of their own life, right? Mm-hmm. And so it's not just do what I tell you to, but it's also let me live this out too, and you can see what it looks like for me to live this out, right? And so, you know, one of the reasons why I hope you would listen to your pastor is because they're not coming from some hypocritical place where they're telling, because that's you can clearly see in that scripture that that's what we're commanded not to do. As shepherds, we're not supposed to be telling you one thing and doing something opposite, right? Instead, right, we're trying to live the same way to give you an example, and it's not about dominion and it's not about control. So when I get into this series and I'm like, please stop doing this or please do this, it is not to control you or to exercise dominion or rule or authority. Pastors do not believe that they have authority over you. Now, there may be some crazies out there. I'm not saying that there's not. But that's not the belief that I don't believe that I'm sitting here with authority over Stephanie because I'm Stephanie's pastor, right? I'm trying to lead her in my life as an example and keep us close to what God wants us to be doing, right? That's the idea. So when we study authority in the Bible, what we clearly see is that spiritual leaders are not meant to have domain over the people, but instead to teach the ways that are revealed in the Bible, to show living examples, and also to correct with love, gentleness, patience, perseverance, right? because people are going to need to be corrected. If you have a spiritual leader in your life, one of the ways in which you are designating them as a leader is as they have the opportunity to correct you. And that's what you see with a shepherd and a sheep. They're trying to correct them, trying to keep them on the right path, right? And that's supposed to be done, though, with patience, with kindness.
Yeah.
So you need to pay attention to that. You don't need to be listening to the pleas of a pastor who is trying to control you or trying to correct you harshly. It's not about being harsh. It's about patience, love, understanding, and gentleness, right?
Yeah.
There, you cannot ignore the what I'm trying to say. You cannot ignore in the scriptures when shepherd is referred to, and especially when Jesus refers himself as the good shepherd, that there is a gentleness and a tenderness in leading the sheep.
Yeah.
Not bullying, right? And not you're required to listen to me. You sit under my authority. You must do whatever I say. That is not the pleas of a pastor you want to listen to. Here's another one. This is Hebrews, 13:17.
Yep. Have confidence in your leaders and submit to their authority, because they keep watch over you as those who must give an account. Do this so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no benefit to you.
So that's what I was just saying a minute ago. Like these things, that's the key verse when I say at the heart of a pastor is if you want to give them something, do what they tell you to, right? Because it's you don't want to make it a burden of them leading you. You want to actually follow what they're saying because it actually gives joy and it helps you. That's the whole point. We're trying to help. And so when we you can see the fact that the scope of their authority, scope of a pastor's authority is pretty much limited to the spiritual realm, right? So this person doesn't get to dictate, certain areas of your life, right?
Right.
Like you shouldn't be listening. If you've got some pastor in your life who's telling you how you should shop, how you should vote, like all of these different little pieces in your life, what kind of food you should cook, you know, those kind of things. Like that's a little crazy, right?
Right.
We're talking about this authority that is pretty much limited to the spiritual realm, even though the advice that the pastor can give can impact all areas of your life because we know those things are tied in and connected, right? But it's not about control, right? It's a submission to the authority because they care about who you are and where you're going, and specifically because they are given an account. That's what the scripture was talking about.
Yeah.
An account of your spiritual life. How did, like, as a pastor, I fully believe the scriptures are indicative that I will have to stand an account for how I led and served you as your shepherd. Did I guide you to godliness? That's the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Not did I control you. That's the thought. So in normal circumstances, you can see that the Bible already gives us instruction for running away from false teachers, unwise pastors, and oppressive leaders, right? So the Bible is not telling you that because somebody is your pastor, and pastor alone, just because they have that title, that you're supposed to sit under them. You're supposed to run away from and rebuke false teachers,
yeah,
unwise pastors, pastors who don't have the authority to talk to you, to lead you, right? In the same Bible that says we should obey our shepherds, that we just read a minute ago, also says things like be aware or avoid the wolves. In other words, there's going to be shepherds who have the title but are really wolves in sheep's clothing, right? That they're not, they don't have the heart of a shepherd, and they're trying to lord these things over you. The scripture that says you should obey your shepherds also says that Jesus set us free. So you need to be wise, you need to be alert, and you don't let yourself be put under slavery again in any way, shape, or form. And that includes under the slavery of man. Just because a person is your spiritual leader does not mean that you are a slave to them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, for example, when you serve within the church, yes, you are serving and helping your pastor lead the church, but that's not really who you're serving. You're serving Jesus, right? And we got to make sure we don't get that twisted, right? Like, if you're a person who's on a worship team or you're helping greet or you're helping with kids, you're helping relieve a burden of leadership from your pastor, of course. Of course you are. But you're not serving them. You're serving Jesus, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have been set free from any sort of slavery in any way, slavery to sin, slavery to man, right? And instead, we are enslaved to the gospel. And so the Bible's telling you, yes, obey your shepherds, but it's also saying you ain't a slave to that person, right? So when I'm talking about these things, I'm not saying blindly listen to me. Or if I'm not your pastor and you have another pastor in your life, I'm not saying blindly listen to them either. The scripture is very specific about you and I not doing that. So if we summarize this thing, we can say with no doubt that the Bible does not give pastors absolute authority over the sheep. The only person who has absolute authority in your life is King Jesus, right? Is the triune God that we serve. It is not the pastor. So when I say these things to you, and I beg you, please, please, please do these things, it's coming from a spirit of love, wanting to guide you in the right way, but it is not something that you have to listen to specifically just because a pastor said it, right? You've got to be wise and alert and make sure that this is not somebody exercising absolute authority over you, right? I do not believe that I have absolute authority over anybody that I lead, right? If I'm following Jesus's lead, I'm getting beneath those people as much as possible, right? I'm laying my life down for the sheep. The shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. And so it's not to benefit me or any pastor to benefit them or to make things better or easier for them. That's not it. It's to serve you. That's the idea of kind of what we're going to talk through in the series. And so we're going to encourage you. Pastors should encourage you to have zeal, encourage you in your spiritual progress, give an example through their own life and how they live it, and to act with love, with gentleness, with patience and perseverance when the time for actually correcting comes. So what I hope you hear in this next series is very honest things that I've seen constantly that you can avoid going down these pitfalls, but you also can walk into some real true life, all right, and things that are going to give life to your soul if you'll just listen to them. And this correction is going to come from love and gentleness and care and concern, not you need to do these things because pastor said so. I just wanted to kind of start the series with that. You know, does that make sense, Steph?
It does make sense.
Yeah, I just wanted to kind of start with understanding that yes, a shepherd does have guidance over your spiritual life, but it is not absolute authority in any way. It should be authority like Jesus had when he was on earth, right? The fact that he comes and he humbly serves, lays down his life, and it's all for our benefit. It's all for our good. It's not to exert control or dominion. And there are lots of pastors who use the pastorate to abuse that, right?
Yeah.
The pastorate has a way of attracting narcissists, right? Because it's a really easy place for it to happen.
Yeah.
The pastorate is a gold mine for a narcissist. It is really, you get a platform, everybody's listening to you. For the most part, they're doing what you tell them to, and they will treat you like you are a god, right? You can become the center of everything. And so you've got to make sure you have a right understanding of pastor before you go listening to me begging you to do a bunch of stuff, which is basically what I'm going to do over the next series. I'm going to be like, here's some things I see. Please don't do this. Mm-hmm. Or here's some things I say. Please start doing these things. Right. And that's kind of where we're going. So pastor, please.
I'm looking forward to it.
It'll be good. It's just one of those. It's just straight from my heart. And I don't know how much detail we'll get on each one or what. They'll probably be kind of short, but that's where we're going.
Okay.
Sound good? We'll kick that off next week. That'll start with 177.
Yay.
And go for, I don't know how long, probably 8 to 10 or something like that.
We will see.
We'll see.
Thank y'all for joining us.
Thanks, guys. See you later.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for joining us on the Messy Walk Podcast with Pastor Adam Cook. Make sure to follow us for future episodes that will be posted regularly each Wednesday. Have a good day.